Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking football with Mark Grody. This segment with Mark Grody is being brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Is Dave the Cat going to knock you off the air today?
It's pretty amazing, Lawrence, that the cat has been sleeping all day. I've been doing some updates for BBM, and the cat has just awakened at the worst possible time. So chances are you probably will hear a meow or two in the background because he does become needy. I have taken measures to make sure that he does not unplug me today, though.
Thank Dave for listening. You know, it's like clearly he's a fan of the radio show and the emerging chemistry and everything that's going on. So we appreciate that, Gross.
Spiegel, let me ask you a question.
Please.
Speaking of this being the new show and things that are emerging very well with you and Lawrence, are you guys still going to play categories?
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact.
Are you sure that we still, because it feels like in the divorce, Parkins got categories? Because I saw on Breakfast Ball that he was running categories, so are you
was
sure?
He really? I saw he's doing something called bold position. So
are you
really?
Sure?
He took that one.
Okay, well, let me throw this out there, guys. If the category was bad things that happened to the Bears the last time they played in London in 2019, could you two, or even Shane, uh-huh, can you guys give me bad things that happened? And if you can't, that's okay. I was there. I was on the sideline, so it's all very fresh in my brain right now.
It's funny. We were talking about it right before the show.
Are you serious?
Yes. Because
let me go first. John Gruden after the game. I don't have a disco ball, but let me start dancing, making fun of Club Dub.
Yes, ding, 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 ding for Danny.
How about Matt Nagy? I believe called the offensive line gutless, and Kyle Long bailed, didn't he?
I didn't have that on my list. But that might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kyle told us about that the last time he was on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be right. That Matt Nagy called the offensive line gutless, and that on the flight home that's when Kyle Long's like, I think I'm good. I think I'm all right with this one. So we'll add that to the list. Okay, but go ahead, give us one for you.
I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs, the rookie at the time, running for 123 yards and two TDs. He was essentially the first-round pick they got in the Khalil Mack trade, and Mack had one of his worst games with the Bears, and he was a no-show in the locker room after that. Zero sacks going up against a second-year offensive lineman by the name of Colton Miller. It was kind of an embarrassing day for Khalil Mack and the Bears and the trade and all that went into it, so that's mine.
Huh. I don't know if I have one.
Chase Daniel, I think the quarterback in that game, I think they lost a fourth quarter interception thrown by the worst quarterback analyst we've ever had.
Did he start that game?
Wow.
Yeah, he did.
He did, because I remember going to the practice field that they had and getting to do the pregame interview with him at that time, and Shane is right. There was a bad interception at the end of the game that essentially put it away in Oakland's 3-point victory.
And I think he's right that was the worst quarterback analyst we've ever had. I think you're right about that.
You guys embittered by him? I mean, I think he's
good. I'm not.
Okay.
I am.
Look, he's the worst quarterback analyst.
I'm new here.
He's actually pretty good.
But Chase Daniel, really good.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lawrence. But,
okay, so there's behind-the-scenes stuff. He keeps ghosting me.
So this is your stuff that you're putting on the rest of us. Like, all right,
yeah. Well, hold on.
He's in the facility, okay?
Hold on.
Go to the facility.
The facility is awesome.
He's our number three quarterback analyst because Kurt Warner's number one. Trent Dilfer is number two. Dilfer was really, really good. And Chase is our third quarterback analyst.
Didn't Trent Dilfer ghost you guys too?
Yeah, he did.
Thanks, Mark.
That was the other show.
Trent's getting his karma right now. We might have to talk about what's going on over there at UAB. Students protesting, nobody going to the game.
Things have gotten really bad, and UAB was in a good place as a program before he took over.
Hey, Shane, these quarterback analysts are ghosting you, maybe it's time you looked in the mirror.
I need a mirror for my relationship with quarterback analysts.
I got two more on this category. Anybody want to take a crack at the last two? There was an injury.
Tanny wants it.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so yes, I think you're about to hit on it. Did Akeem Hicks get hurt the week before or in this game in particular we're talking about?
In this game, because it was traumatic for me, too. I'm down on the sideline. I have never heard a grown man yell in pain that loudly when he went down on his elbow, and I was like, oh no, he's not going back in. Like, and he was standing there on the sideline. I was like, oh, I might go to question him. Like, no, this man is not coming back in. I just heard him, and that essentially to me that signaled the downfall, and it turned out to be correct that was the downfall of that defense being dominant. It just was.
You're making Chris Tannehill so happy, because he was like yesterday, he was like, you know, tomorrow we should hit on how that London game last time the Bears were there was the downfall of everything.
I love it, and you're nailing it.
You're doing it. So you know.
One more thing. There's one more thing that's stuck out to me, and I don't know if you guys are going to get unless you guys want to take a crack.
Let me get in Johnny Hood mode here. Hang on. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Wait. You were there. And not you're not
I was there.
We're there.
A lot of people think I wasn't there. I was
stayed.
There. The
and you
whole
stayed
week.
An extra week, didn't you?
I did.
That's the smart move to do, I think.
If you've got the
opportunity to do it, so go ahead, and then we can talk about what your week was like over there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the last thing that I had, Bears, was that a lot of people don't remember the old Oakland Raiders. That's what they were back then. They were the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders were there all week long because that's what John Gruden wanted to do. And organizationally, they're like, we got to get set. Matt Nagy, I think they left, I believe it was on a Thursday? It was either Wednesday.
Yes.
It was a Thursday.
They left Thursday. They had one practice in London. That didn't work out.
So that's another way that John Gruden and the Raiders pants the Bears that day. So that's what I got. Spiegel, bonus points to you for adding one to my list here for the next time I do this on a radio show.
All right, good. You nailed the category. You win. You win this episode
of
Category.
I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
So Groats, what did you end up doing while you were in London?
Yes. So my parents were there along with...
Oh, they're delightful people.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, I know you've gotten to meet Gene and Gerhard Grody. So, yeah, we hung out there. My Aunt Rhonda was there, and we did it all. We did the double-decker bus tours, zipping up and down all around. We went to the Winston Churchill...
Bunkers?
Bunkers, wow. Exactly. We went out...
Went to the Archie Bunkers?
Yeah, the Archie Bunkers, too, as well. Eat it! Stifle! We ate a lot of English food fare. We actually found some. We did have a difficult time finding decent food, so we actually went to dinner.
You're in London,
exactly. We found a place though for dinner, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was good enough that we said, you know what, let's go here the next night as well.
We
did dinner, and we had the English breakfast every day at the hotel, which again are
the blood sausage. Man, I don't get it. I really don't.
Spiegs, I had that, and it just... I went into it with a bad attitude because it's called blood sausage.
Right, and then you tasted it, and the attitude stayed bad.
Yeah, so it was terrific. I still had to do my little Bears reports all week long from London because I was doing the Bears daily update at that time. So all of my London days started off with that. And my parents and my aunt never understood what I was doing. So why are you doing work stuff? Don't worry about it. They still want me to do this. And then we would just walk about London. So it was absolutely delightful.
The whole time in London, you didn't stray to other countries while you were there?
I did not. That's actually a great question. That's the one thing that I kind of regretted because
it's
very easy. Yeah, people, you can go to France. People were talking about, my colleagues talking about doing that. And so, it's so easy. You should do this. But it just was not in the plans that week with my parents and Aunt Rhonda.
fair enough. Like, they got comfortable, and you're like, hey, you know what? We're having a good time here. We'll make it work even with the bad food.
Yeah, I'm just glad Aunt Rhonda had a good time.
Oh, Aunt Rhonda. Oh, yeah, man. Aunt Rhonda is a meatball Bears fan. Like, you guys, at some point in time, when things slow down, maybe bye week, feel free to have Aunt Rhonda on. She's got all sorts of bad pronunciations and opinions about the Bears.
So, wait, who's Aunt Rhonda's favorite player?
Boy, oh boy. Aunt Rhonda's favorite player right now?
No, like in history.
Oh, of all time. Oh, history is easy. Walter Payton. I mean, she's a meatball 80s Bear, like the entire Bear 80s Bears roster. And she grew up with season tickets and all of that. So she's been to a million games. She's cut down a little bit on going to the games. But yeah, and then before, one name that always bugged me about her is she was a fan of Roquan Smith, but it was always Rokon. Well, hey, what happened to Rokon? Why did they trade? She was so mad.
Well, isn't he working for like the mayor's office or the governor?
Yeah,
or something?
Sheriff.
Yeah. Sheriff, yeah. Uh-huh. Rokon is working there.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Rokon.
He made Gary Myers sound really good. Really did. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But yeah, that was
the take that back right now. You bite your damn tongue.
No,
Gary Meyer made Roe sound good.
Thank you very much. All right, there you go.
Ding, wow. Ding, 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 ding.
Look at you guys.
But yeah, Rokon, she's not over Rokon being traded. So Tremaine Edmonds needs to step up his game, or else Aunt Rhonda is going to be living in this for a while.
Groats, did you happen to hear, when we played it earlier, the Caleb Williams and DJ Moore exchange about bossy and sassy? My goodness, for anybody who missed it, DJ Moore talked about Caleb being bossy. And Caleb reacted to that by saying, bossy, that sounded kind of sassy. And whoo, there was some, Lawrence called it out as like having some passive aggressive nature in there from
DJ. He's been bossy lately. Uh-huh. Sounds a little sassy.
Yeah. So like there, you know, it's the kid leading the all-pro veteran, and the all-pro veteran having to suck it up and say that's a good thing, and the kid is doing well, and the stats say it, and the win says it. I'm okay with I mean, I kind of like the feelings being aired out and being honest about it with a joke. If that's what the feelings actually are, then go ahead and put them out there. I thought it was very interesting.
I love it. There is some discomfort to it because this is two guys being very transparent. I'm very interested to see how this develops, but the fact that they can be honest with each other in that regard, and DJ Moore has been wearing it, showing it in terms of everything. Like, everything you see is real, like in terms of like the way he is talking, the body language at times, DJ Moore, like he wants more, to pardon the pun, but I think it is a very interesting relationship that is building between these two. You got one guy in his development. This Caleb Williams is just trying to figure out the NFL, and as I've told you guys in the past, DJ Moore knew this was coming. He knew that if Justin Fields was going to leave, that whomever the quarterback was going to be, there's going to be some growing pains, and that was something that DJ Moore was shaking his head about, that, you know, he understood it. It's not personal to DJ Moore in any way, shape, or form, but he knew that he would have to live with this. So I think that DJ Moore is pushing things as hard as he can. And I'll tell you what, this is going to sound really weird, but the loss to Indianapolis was one of the more important losses that I've seen the Bears have in a long time.
Because, why do you say that?
Because hell has broken loose since.
Hey,
the head coach had a bad game that day. He did mismanagement of time. The offensive coordinator had a bad day that day, making Caleb Williams throw the ball 53 times. The quarterback had a bad day that day. And since then, they've had this players meeting, the come to Jesus with Shane Waldron, and all of these guys since then have gotten better. The head coach has gotten better. All of a sudden, Shane Waldron has looked pretty good as an OC for the last 2 weeks because of what happened in Indianapolis. The quarterback breakout game last week. So communication opened because of that loss to the Colts, and these guys have gotten better since then, and I think it is because of that game in Indianapolis.
That's a great point and great context, Mark Grody, because two losses in a row qualifies as adversity. in the NFL.
It does.
And they had two losses in a row, with that Indianapolis game being an embarrassment. They know the importance of starting well, especially in this nine-game chunk before they even get a division game. It's like, it's so important to be sitting pretty by the time you get there. And instead of falling apart, they looked inward, they communicated, and they gathered, and they seem to actually have benefited from it. I thoroughly agree with that.
Yeah, and made specific adjustments to make themselves better. It wasn't just like they went out there and played. No, they told you what they wanted to do. That during last week, although there's no way that we knew this during the week because of just the glimpse we get to see in practice, their number one thing was what we were all hammering them for. Where's the downfield passing game? Where's the explosive plays? You're not going to really do this underneath thing with Caleb Williams every week. And that's what they did.
And Grody, the last 2 weeks, we've seen actually tangible evidence on those conversations leading to things. 2 weeks ago, it was, oh, look at that. They're running between the tackles. They've got somebody in the I formation who happens to be a backup center. But either way, you know, Caleb under center, running more direct. There's more Roshan. And then the next week, like you're talking about with the downfield stuff, it's rare to get tangible evidence on the benefits of those conversations.
Go ahead, Groats.
No, I was just going to say, the run game is another thing. I didn't even mention that. Like, DeAndre Swift, who was, like, people were like, is this guy a bust? Should they have paid him? Like, because I think people were mostly happy when he came here. Mm-hmm. He's getting his act together. Roshan Johnson, they're figuring out what he is best at, and that is probably at the goal line for him. Khalil Herbert, he's clearly fallen out of favor. Clearly fallen out of favor with the Bears. I mean, eight carries for 16 yards and a touchdown. And they told you that by signing DeAndre Swift. I don't think there's as much mystery about the Khalil Herbert, the lack of Khalil Herbert runs as there should be in terms of like why. They told you when they signed DeAndre Swift that they weren't really sure about Khalil Herbert as a lead back for the Bears.
This game makes me uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Speaks and I have been talking about it for the past couple of days. Jacksonville's bad. They're not as bad as they appear to be.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And so it makes me a little like, because what I don't want is for the Bears to go into a bye with an embarrassing loss over there. And I guess I'm just trying to look for some reason to justify my discomfort.
Justify my discomfort.
That's a good song. I really appreciate
my love.
Madonna doing that. So what are you seeing that's making you equally as uncomfortable?
Well, just the game that the Jags played last week against the Colts. I mean, we're talking about they beat the Colts, and we all saw the Colts up front. It's not a bad team. Trevor Lawrence had 371 yards. Tank Bigsby had 101 yards rushing and two TDs. Brian Thomas Jr., I think that's a Spiegs guy right there, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's a Lawrence guy.
A Lawrence guy?
It's my favorite receiver in the draft.
I worry about the Guagis fast as hell, but he can't go up and get it.
Okay. The LSU had an 85-yarder last week. Christian Kirk, we know he's no slouch. Four catches for 88 yards. And like I was looking at some of the offensive statistics relative to the Bears. The Jaguars lead the Bears better than the Bears in total yards, better in the passing game, better in the rushing game. But again, this is another week, though, where the Bears will be going up against a weak defense. That is, so the Bears can go to work against the Jaguars defense, just like the last couple of weeks against the opponents that they had. So they have that advantage. Again, the Bears defense way better than the Jaguars defense. But yeah, they, just like the Bears, Lawrence, Jacksonville is starting to get their collective acts together as well.
And there's some desperation here, too. Kind of the desperation that we saw the Bears playing with in that Rams game. I feel like we've got some of that with Jacksonville this week. They're in their home away from home. They don't want to embarrass themselves in their home away from home. The coach is under fire. People are questioning whether or not the quarterback should get all the money. Like a lot of it, like just it adds up to concern for me.
It makes sense. And you know, this team, Doug Peterson, before this win, they had lost the first four of the season, right? They lost 9 out of 10 going back to last year, did Jacksonville. Before that, they had won 7 of 8. And if you actually expanded back into the year before, they had won 15 out of 20. They were 15-5 over a 20-game span. That's all with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. 15-5 over a 20-game span. And then things fell off the table and they lost 9 of 10. But Trevor Lawrence can win games and put up points and also knows just how to do whatever he has to do as a quarterback to win games. And he was really, really good last week. So I understand your fear, Lawrence, big time.
I'll keep crunching the numbers and see if I can come up with a Bears win on this one. But it needed to at least be said. So, okay, now that we've done some game prep and everything else, what was your favorite thing that you remembered about that trip? Because I didn't ask you that. We asked you about how the whole thing, but what was your favorite part? What would you recommend to a Bear if they were like, hey, Groats, Bears, where should I go and hang out? What should I do?
Guys, I swear to God, I did not hear anything that happened the last 30 seconds.
Dave
did it again. I'm not playing radio here. This cat just did it. Come here, you. Come here, Dave. You want to be on Twitch? Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, bring him up.
The evidence.
Let people see Dave the cat.
There's DTC right there.
Oh, there he is.
You're a bad boy.
Every time you say DTC, I think of ITC and Inside the Clubhouse, and I'm insulted for them. You know what I mean?
I think of OPP.
Oh, but are you down with that?
Yeah, you know me.
Shane's down with it. Yeah. Should we ask Bruce who he has on?
That's the street say.
Bruce, who do you have? Who will you have this week on Inside the Clubhouse? Have you?
What have you?
What did you ask, Lawrence? I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't matter. We've run out of time.
We asked about Dave the Cat.
Yeah, DTC did it again. Didn't you, Dave? So now I do think Dave knows what he's doing. Yeah, he does know what he's doing.
He's crafty like that. Great stuff, Mark Grody.
He's crafty. Yeah, yeah.
He gets it right.
Thanks, Groats.
Too many music references now. We can't stop. It's like
Bears. It's a different show, Speech.
It's a very different show.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence says one. I hear it. I want to roll with it.
Hey, Lawrence, real quick. Bars.
That's what I like to hear.
Tanny? Sassy anyone?
I just stepped in a big pile of sassy.
All right, you got something for Shane?
Shane, I'm sorry for calling you Shan, but did you like it? Did you like it when I called you Shan?
No.
No? Okay. All right, that's it. That's all I got.
Somebody say sassy.
This is why we love you, Groats. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks,
Bye,
Mark.
Guys. Bye.
Bye, Mark.
We should go back to London for a second. With some of the stuff that Ryan Poles had to say today, because there was something that we talked about yesterday that we didn't get into with him, and that's Jaquan Brisker.
Let's do it.
He spoke about that. He talked about the rest of the offense. We will take care of that and listen to that next. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.